Let's read, if we would, verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ear of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt? I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Let the church say amen. Our Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Now, our hearts have already been ministered to through the music. Now, Father, may they have been prepared to receive your word. This is a powerful word. It will change us if we'll let it. So help us not to stand in the way of your work. If somebody in here doesn't know Jesus, help that person to know that they can leave here on their way to heaven, and that Jesus makes all the difference. Use the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Last week, as we dove into this passage of scripture, we were reading the prophecy of Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. Why did he weep? He cried over God's people. He cried over where they stood, how they lived, where they had fallen, what they had become. He was a son of a priest, but God ordained him to be a prophet. We discovered last week that through Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter number 1, that God said, Before I formed thee, I knew thee. God said, Jeremiah, you matter to me in the womb. By the way, could I tell you, you matter to God in the womb. Before people ever met you, before you ever introduced to them, before they ever heard what your name was or discovered what your personality was like, God said, before anybody ever knew you, God knew you. Aren't you glad that God knew you before anybody else knew you? He gave you a personality and he gave you a purpose. He's got a plan for your life. You are not here by accident. Somebody say amen. You're here by God's divine purpose. He's got a purpose for your life. So Jeremiah speaks to the people of God. God gives him a ministry to those who had known God, experienced God, those who had been delivered by God, redeemed by God, those who had been witnesses of the manifestation of the glory of God. Jeremiah picks up his pen, begins writing, if you would, during the reign of Josiah, continued during the reigns of Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. Jeremiah was there when God's people were snatched away and led into Babylonian captivity. He stood there and watched them as they were taken away. He was the voice of God saying, do right, turn to God, don't engross yourself in those sins, come back to God. He was God's voice speaking God's message to God's people, and his heart broke when the people wouldn't listen. He's just received the calling of God. He's just been placed into the ministry of prophecy. Met with great inadequacy. God, this is bigger than I am. By the way, you've never done anything for God that wasn't bigger than who you are. Amen. The work of God is bigger than who we are. But aren't you glad that the big God is able to let us do what he's called us to do? He's able to empower us and enable us. Jeremiah, go tell them what I've said. And in chapter number 2, he's preaching, if you would, his first message. The first message wasn't a break-in message. I mean, this brother started off strong. God said, I want to talk to my people. And he met his people with these 3 words. I remember thee. He took them down memory lane. He said, I remember. I remember when you had a vibrancy about me. I remember when you were excited to talk to me. I remember when you enjoyed being around me. I remember when you appreciated what I've done for you. I remember when you stood in awe of my glory. I remember when you were excited to tell other people about me. But something happened, my people. You've drifted away. You've wandered away. You've meandered away from who I am. And now, instead of a relationship with me, you're just a memory. We posed the question last week. Are you just a memory to God? Are your best days with God behind you? By the way, I asked you last week, do you remember when God was the best thing in your life? Do you remember when you got up in the morning, he was the first person you wanted to talk to? Do you remember everybody you met? You wanted to tell everybody about him. Do you remember the day you got saved? How many of you glad you're saved today? Do you remember the day you got saved? I want to tell you, it was the best day of my life. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. By the way, salvation is not just a me thing. It's an anybody thing. Do you realize if you're here today and you're lost that you can be saved? Do you realize that you're here today and you're without Jesus Christ? I watched an excerpt this week of Kathy Lee Gifford. She spoke about evangelist Billy Graham and passing away. And she stood there on national TV and said, if I had the cure for cancer, I would want everybody to know it. She says, well, I want you to know I've got the cure for the malignancy of the soul. And sin is the malignancy of the soul. And the cure is Jesus. And she said, the doctor is in today. I'm glad this morning, if you're lost and dying from the malignancy of sin, I'm glad that the doctor's in today. He'll save your soul. But Israel had been redeemed and had drifted. Sad to say, many Christians are just a memory to God. Their fervent passion there was, number one, what he reminisced upon. Their submissive humility, their sincere hunger, their separated holiness. He said, I remember when you were marked off for me. Remember the banana pudding? That's what I mark off in the refrigerator. God said, when I saved you, I marked you off. Aren't you glad you belong to somebody? By the way, there's a whole lot of people in this world that don't want to claim you. God said, I will. Amen. God said, I will. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I remember when you were holy. You lived different. You acted different. You thought different. You behaved different. You looked different. But now you're just a memory. Supplied help. I remember when anybody that messed with you, God said, they messed with me. And I defended you. That was your fervent passion. But then he highlighted, if you would, secondly, we looked at their forgotten performance. Their forgotten performance. He had a rallying invitation, if you would. He said, gather all the house of Israel, verse number 4. And then he said, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? He asked the rhetorical interrogation, if you would. He said, what have you found wrong about me? Can I ask you a question? What have you found wrong about God? Has he ever failed you? Has he ever let you down? Has he ever not been, you heard the song just a few moments ago, has God ever not been there for you? I mean, what excuse do you have for wandering off from him? He gave them, if you would, a ridiculous intimation, shame on you. He says, you've gone far from me, and neither has any of you said, the Lord brought us up out of Egypt. He said, where's somebody when God starts being forgotten that reminds somebody else, let's not forget God. And by the way, if you're a member of Crossroads Baptist Church, aren't you glad that while you've been in this place, you've seen God show up? Amen. I'm glad I come to a church where every Sunday morning, every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, God shows up. By the way, we're not trying to put a bunch of performers on the stage. This is not American Idol or Showtime at the Apollo or The Voice or America's Got Talent. Listen to me, there's nobody that we want to show up more in this church than Almighty God himself. Aren't you glad that over the years, God has shown up in your life? You say, where are those? When people start to forget God, that remind them, don't you forget God. We know what God did for us. He gave him a reminding information. He said, I was the one that brought you through the wilderness, through deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt. I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered in, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. He said, I want to remind you of something. I'm the one that brought you here. By the way, isn't it good for all of us to remember that the good stuff we got from God? You say, well, I get up and go to work every day. I punch in the clock. I work them overtime hours. The Bible says it is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. If you made a paycheck this week, God gave you strength in your bones to get up and make it. When you get up in the morning, before you start complaining about the aches and pains in your body, thank God you got a body. Amen. Because if you didn't have one, you couldn't feel the aches and pains. The reproachful infiltration, if you would. The priests, pastors, and prophets. He said, everybody act like they don't know me. That's where we're getting to be in America. Come on now. People act like they don't know God. Act like America didn't get where she got today because of God. There's a reason why we put God in God we trust on our money. Because there was a day when we actually trusted in God. When you say America's getting crazy and people don't trust God. Well, where is the child of God on the job when people start forgetting God? That'll speak up and say, not my God. He woke me up this morning. Where's the saint of God that's in here this morning healthy? Because when you were on the doctor's bed and they shook their head and said, you were good as gone. The great doctor, the great physician showed up in the hospital room and said, it ain't over till God says it's over. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Your fervent passion, now your forgotten performance. Number three, we move on. Your fickle practices. You're just a memory. You and I are just a memory. What do you mean, Jeremiah? He said, God said you up and down. I wonder if any Christians can feel yourself going up and down. Some are willing to admit it. No matter how hard you try, you're here today, there tomorrow. Here today, and there tomorrow. An emotional Christian. How many of you learned that you can't serve God just based on emotion? I will tell you that sometimes I don't feel saved. Well, you say, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. Well, I'm just saying what you know is true. Sometimes we don't feel saved. You know why we don't feel saved sometimes? Because sometimes we don't act saved. But I'm glad that when I don't feel saved, I am still factually saved. Amen. I'm not saved because I woke up this morning feeling saved. I'm saved because God made a promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That we are kept by his power until the day of redemption. That no man can pluck me out of his hand. I'm saved because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm saved because I was born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God which liveth and abide it forever. I'm still saved when I mess up because I didn't get washed with soap. I didn't get washed with body wash. I'm saved because I got washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and nobody can bring a charge against the elect of God. I've been justified, sanctified, cleansed, and redeemed. If I ever got saved, I'm still saved. But some Christians have lost their salvation, but they lost their mind. They're riding a roller coaster. Listen to me. Your circumstances in life will take you on a roller coaster. When I got saved, I didn't get in circumstances. I got in Christ. Amen. Amen. When everything going like this, I'm glad he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the great I am. Amen. He'll never leave me or forsake me. Pastor, why do I feel like my life is a roller coaster? You got on the wrong ride. You get latched on with Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I'll give you a ride. No, I'll give you rest unto your soul. So we become fickle. How fickle, Pastor? Well, so fickle that even when you act like you lost your mind, you got a pleading father. Verse 9, I will plead with you. Boy, this hit me. Israel treated God like he had never done anything for them, and yet he pleaded with them. Now let people do us like that. And you know what we say? They do me like that, I'm done with them. Huh? The barber said last week, let somebody I cut come up in here and get in another chair while I'm watching, because he can't wait for me. Want to let somebody else cut his head. Let him come back next week and try to get in my chair. Say, nope. You got in another chair, you can never get back in my chair. That's human instinct. You do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong back. You slap me, I'll slap you. You bark up the wrong tree, I'll bark you up a higher tree. Aren't you glad that even when we're running from God, God's chasing us? He said, you quit praying, you quit reading, you quit coming to church, and yet I'm still dialing your number. You deleted mine, but I kept yours. Somebody say amen. You quit calling me, but I kept calling you. You act like I didn't matter, but I let you know you still matter. You treated me like I was a nobody, but I still loved on you like I was somebody. Some of you are in the building today, but you're not in the building because you've been loving God like you should. You're in the building this morning because even when you don't, God dialed your number, said, go to church, listen up. You don't love me, but I still love you. I'm pleading with you. He said, I'm a pleading father. Well, wherefore I will plead with you and your children. Verse 10, but you've got some preposterous functions. I mean, just absolutely ludicrous. He says, pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory, for which doth not profit. Watch it now. He said, go over to these other lands that were near you. Look northwest, look southeast, and go find them people that have false gods. Their gods were false years ago, and they stuck with their false gods. Somebody hear me now. He said, if the heathen are still worshiping their false gods, why aren't you still worshiping your real God? He said, it's preposterous to think that idol worshipers don't turn on their phony gods. Come on now. And redeemed Christians have turned on their authentic God. No, somebody's not listening to me this morning. They're still praying five times a day towards Mecca. They're still worshiping the sun and the moon. Travel over to some of these third world countries and they're still bowing down to the moon. They're still worshiping the sun. There are some that still would call a cow a reverent animal, and they still believe in superstition. There are some that for years have still bought into heresy and fallacy, and yet we've been introduced not to Muhammad, not to Buddha, not to the Pope, but to the creator of the universe, the King of Kings. He said, why they stuck with theirs and you ditched yours? That doesn't make sense. Preposterous. And so now what have you done? Look at as he continues. He said, be ye astonished, O ye heavens, and horribly afraid, be ye very desolate. He says, you have provoked fear. He said, the creation that I made is watching you and is surprised that you have turned on your God that created you, because they know it's the same God that created them. Watch it now. Said the sun looking down at you going, have you lost your mind? The birds are chirping in the morning. They know where they came from. The Bible says creation groans. Do you hear me now? That's in the Bible. Do you realize that the world that is blanketed by sin wants Jesus to come back? Because even the inanimate objects of the earth can tell it ain't the same now like it was when there was no sin. He said, why is the cloud groaning for me? Why is the bird singing for me? Why is the sun rising because I said so and setting because I said so? Why is the earth moving in orbit because I made sure it never misses a beat. Why are you still here, not getting burned up by the sun and destroyed by the elements? Why does the world know I'm God and you act like you can't remember? You have astonished the earth. And then the pitiful folly. Notice what he said. The young lions roared. All the children of Noph and Tahpenes, verse 16, have broken the crown of thy head. Shame on you, he says. Verse 13, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can only hold water. Watch this now. You've engaged in false religion, which means you've forsaken your Redeemer. And while forsaking your Redeemer, you've tried to put him out and bring in fake replacements. Walked away from me. And I'm the only well that's going to satisfy. Somebody say amen. Nobody going to satisfy you but Jesus. Some of you remember what it was like to try to get water from somewhere else. Come on. Drugs, alcohol, immorality. Did it ever satisfy you? You know what the world does? It gives you a drink and it never satisfies you and they make you come back for more. He said you walked away from me as your Redeemer and you've hewn up broken cisterns. A cistern was a well. He says you've dug up your own well because you've forsaken the living well. And the well you've dug up, when you go dipping down in water, is full of mud. Come on now. I'll tell you what the devil does. He muddies the water. Come on. I watch people walk away from God, and they walk away with such ambition. Oh, I done found me something better. I done found me someone greater. I don't have to do all them Christian things. I don't have to go all them Christian places. I don't have to read that Bible. I've been set free. Have you ever watched somebody walking away from God? They start skipping, don't they? I'm following the yellow brick road till they run into a dead end. Amen. Come on now. Listen to me. Every time we try to make a detour away from God, it never turns out well. This is what Israel had done. God said, I'll tell you where the well is. I'm the living well, by the way. The day I took a drink from that living water, I'm going to tell you, my soul has never been thirsty again. But my friend, the devil, will tell you, he's got all the water you need. He's got all the dreams you need. He'll paint this mirage of sin. He'll tell you there's pleasure there. There's joy there. And Israel left God and actually thought they could find something better out there. And then when they dipped down their bucket into that well, they brought up a bunch of mud. Somebody could stand up and testify. Some of you adults could testify to some of these kids. You tell them, don't you ever turn on God. Don't you ever leave God. Don't you ever backslide. Some of these adults could stand up here and plead with you today. They've tasted that muddy water. They've dated the devil. They've gone down that wrong road. It only brought misery. Take my word for it. There's no better life than drinking from the living well. His name is Jesus. Amen. Replacements never work.
Right.
Try it. Try fame. Try fortune. Try fun. It's all futility. You never win except in Jesus. Don't you wish we could get people to understand that? Have you ever begged someone not to go that way? That's where Jeremiah was. Please, please don't. Please, please don't. Don't bite it. Don't chase it. Don't buy it. Don't date it. Don't wear it. Come on. Don't think it. Don't sell it. Don't drink it. Don't smoke it. Somebody say amen. Why? Everything you need is in Jesus. Fake replacements. That was their fickle practices. Number four. their forced predicament. God says, you forced my hand. Now I want you to think about this, folks. If God be for us, finish the verse. If God be for us, you know what that means? Can't nobody beat you when God's on your side. How many of you have learned that to be true? Have you ever been outnumbered? Have you ever had the odds against you? Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. You know what that means? He didn't say some weapons. He said no weapon. Come on, talk to me. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Pastor, what are you? I'm just getting sick and tired of these people acting like if you're a Christian, you got to be a loser. Well, I'd be a Christian, but I'm just sick of being one of those weaklings that get stepped on and stomped on. Have you ever read your Bible? The psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old. Somebody help me preach. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you, God's been good to me. Yes, he still puts food on my table and clothes on my back and a roof over my head. And when the world doesn't take care of me, I'm glad God takes care of me. I want to ask you, who wakes you up in the morning? Who gives you brand new mercies? Whose grace is sufficient? Whose word is enough? Whose mercy endures? Whose truth, my friend, will set you free? I tell you, it's not the devil. It's not the world. Who's the friend that's sticking closer than a brother? Who's bread when you're hungry? Who's water when you're thirsty? Who's comfort when you're lonely? Who's the heart regulator? Who's the mind demonstrator? Who's the doctor that'll heal you? Who's the friend that'll love on you? Who's the God that will hear you? Who's the Holy Ghost that will fill you? Can't nobody do you like Jesus. And yet, we forget. And here was Israel. Here was Israel forcing God's hand. Here was a thought I was trying to establish. If nobody can stop you, if God's for you, then there's no progress you can make if God's against you. No. Christianity is not complicated. We're complicated. Christianity is not complicated. Well, the Christian life got so many complications. No, it's not. Do what God said. Boom shakalaka. That's all it is. Now you say the Bible's a lot to do. There's so many rules in the Bible. I get one down and I break the other one. Wait. That's in your own strength. You ever read Romans chapter 7? Listen to the greatest Christian in the Bible describe the child of God trying to be victorious in the flesh. Tell us how it feels, Paul. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Anybody ever felt like that way? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I say, Lord, I say, I'm going to do this right, and I do it wrong. I say, I'm not going to do this wrong, and I do it wrong anyway. Anybody ever been there? That's the description of the Christian life in the flesh. I meet people all the time. Well, you just make it look so easy. It ain't no easy. But it is simple. Amen. Everybody say, I'd love to be the kind of Christian Paul was. You could be. I'd love to be the kind of Christian somebody else is. You could be. When I look at people, I could never do that. They ain't doing it either. One of my favorite verses of all the Bible is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Somebody say, I'm crucified with Christ. Say, I'm crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means you got to die. And don't go grabbing no razor blade or a bunch of pills. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the flesh has got to die. Pastor, I don't know why I can't live for God. You ain't died yet. I get up every day and I say, Lord, I'm not going to think about those things. I'm not going to click on that website. I'm not to go to that place. And you know what I do? I think about them. I click on it and I go. You haven't died. Well, how do you know my flesh isn't dead? Because you keep feeding it. I want the flesh to die, but I keep setting the table and ringing the bell. It's time to eat. You know how you kill something that's living? You starve it. Amen. Now here's what Paul said. Reckon yourself already to be dead. You already died when you got saved. Amen. Amen. So stop acting like the flesh is supposed to be alive when it already died. Pastor, why can't Christians live for God? They haven't died with God. See, once you die, it's not you living. It's Christ living through you. And the life which you live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Listen, Jesus ain't going to have no shared throne. He ain't going to have no joint partnership. Amen. He's going to be the owner. You're going to be the manager. And everything you manage, he owns and he lets you be a steward of. But you got to die so that he can live. Pastor, I'm trying. They forced God's hand. What did it mean? Verse number 14. Israel's a servant. Israel's a slave. Why is Israel spoiled? 15. The young lions roared up upon him and yelled. They made his lands waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. The children of Nob, the weaklings that they used to beat, are now beating them. Depleted power. This is a predicament they forced. Can you imagine being indwelt by the most powerful being on planet Earth and having no power? Do you remember Samson? He went from victor to victim. You say the power was in his hair. The power was in God. And God told him not to cut his hair. Somebody help me preach. Oh, I wish I could have that hair. You don't need the hair. You need the Heavenly Father. Amen. Samson didn't lose the power because he lost his hair. Samson lost the power because he disobeyed his father. And for you, it may not be your hair. It might be your habits. I don't know. I don't have any more power. When I pray, nothing happens. Have you disobeyed God? Depleted power. I led you out of Egypt to be rulers. Do you realize as a Christian, God made us to have dominion? And yet I talk to people all the time that are dominated by sin. Can't kick it. I can't knock it. You forced God's hand. You walked away. Do you remember when you had power? Ain't nothing more invigorating than watching the devil run from you. Amen. And yet I meet Christians all the time say, he's got me pinned down. You ever get calls like that? Devil's got me pinned down. And then you give them spiritual counsel on how to pin the devil down. And they go, I can't do that. Do you read your Bible? Not like I should. If I knew that reading my Bible would help me pin the devil down, don't you think I'd read my Bible? Do you pray? Well, I don't really pray. Somebody told me recently, I don't really have time to do all that, but you got time to keep losing. Now, could I tell you there's a lot of things in here that each of us have differently? Different length hair. Amen. Right? Different eyesight. Different financial means. Right? Could I tell you there's something we all have the same? 24 hours a day. I don't get 25, you get 22. You don't get 26, I get 21. If you're alive on planet Earth, your day has 24 hours and my day does too. Now what you do with your 24 hours is up to you. You can love God with it or you can love your flesh with it. You can serve your devil or you can serve yourself. You can serve mankind or you can serve the master that put you on planet Earth. But nobody has more time than anybody else. Depleted power. What's beating you? Do you realize how contradictory it sounds for a child of God with God living inside of him to be defeated by anything? You fill in the blank. I thought you just told me if God be for you, no weapon formed against you shall. Amen. Isn't that what the Bible said? Nay, in all these things we are more than through him that greater is he that is in you. Why are you losing? You forced the predicament. Depleted power. Disappointed procurement. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself? Who are you blaming? You got this mess yourself. Do you ever witnessed your children go, I don't want to sit here? What's your response? Why are you sitting there? You the reason you're in trouble. Have we all said that to our children? I don't want to get a spanking. I don't want to spank you. But you made me. You did what I said don't do, and you forced my hand. Now, Christian people say all the time, I don't want to be miserable. I don't want lack of joy. I don't want no peace. I don't want all these things. God said, you procured it. When I saved you, I put you in a buffet line. You know what I like about the goodness of God? You can have as much as you can handle. Well, I tell you, you say, Pastor, God is so good to you. Yeah, because I keep on going to the line. Amen. I keep getting me another plate. You say, I thought your plate was full. That's all right. I grab another plate. And the more plates I put out, the more God feels. That's why David said, my cup runneth over. He said, the goodness of God goes in me and overflows out of me into the cup and into the saucer. And flow. I tell you, God's a good. Some of you stop carrying plates to the buffet. I remember when you did. First person in line. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. I don't know why God's not blessing me anymore. Where's your cup? Oh, Pastor, I'm still in church. Yeah, but you left your cup home. Who do you have to blame when you're living in misery when your father's a good God? God wants to bless your marriage. God wants to bless your children. God wants to bless you. I'm a Christian, I guess. I'm just going to be broke the rest of my life. What verse is that in the Bible? Now, that don't mean you're going to be a billionaire. But how many of you know that grace and mercy spends a whole lot better than dimes and dollars? Somebody say amen. But I'm going to tell you what, God does a pretty good job with dimes and dollars too. Somebody say amen. He takes good care of me, amen. But God said, give me some. Some people can't give God a cup because it's already full. That was Israel. We don't need God's stuff. We got our own stuff. And as a result of it, their disappointing procurements, they were forced to a desperate partnership. And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? Drink the waters of Sihor. And ask, and why, in verse 18, what hast thou to do in Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Oh, okay. So you're going on down Egypt. Whenever you find out that people have quit church and quit God, they ain't stop eating. They just stopped eating from the right place. They eating somewhere. God said, I used to feed you. And when you stopped eating from me, you had to get your food from somewhere else. Don't act like y'all know what you're talking about. You see them feeding other places on Facebook all the time. I don't have Facebook, but you have it. And you look at Christian people who quit feeding from God and look at some of the stuff they eating on. Somebody told me this week, I saw somebody out of the will of God, and I tell you what. You ever run into somebody that quit feeding from God? Look terrible, don't it? Boy, the world have you messed up, won't it? And looking messed up. Let me tell you something. There's something about serving God that doesn't just do good for your heart, it does good for your face. Well, I'm telling you, listen, spiritual fervor will give you some physical energy. Amen. I mean, there are some times when I didn't get very much rest physically, but you wouldn't be able to tell. My wife said, honey, I don't think you need coffee. I said, I don't get coffee because I'm out of energy. I get coffee because I want extra energy. Amen. You know why people fall into depression? You listen to me? Because the places where they're feeding can't sustain them. You better listen to your pastor preach this morning. Some of you waited in the wrong line this week. had a reservation and a buzzer. I called Delta yesterday. They said, please leave your number. We'll call you back in over 2 hours. They called me back in 3.5 hours, at which time why I called was no longer relevant. Let me ask you a question. Who wants to wait in a line for that long for somebody who can't even solve your problem? Can I ask you a question? When you were eating at God's table, how many lines did you have to wait in? Somebody help me preach. When you were praying every day, how long did you have to wait for Jesus to pick up the phone? When your Bible was the first thing you ate every morning, how many pages did you have to take? How many times did they tell you, go sit on the side, and when your table's ready, we'll call you? I want to tell you, when I was walking with God, every time I ate, the table was ready. Every time I was thirsty, he fills my cup. Every time I called, he's on the main line. Now you're waiting in line for the word. And can't even get fed. Desperate partnership. You done gone hooked up with people. Listen to me. You fall out of fellowship with God, you hook up with people you used to say you'll never run with. You ever seen two people together and say, oh my goodness, they used to hate each other? Well, they met on the road called We Left God. And because of that, he says, you have a determined plight. Look at this passage of scripture and we'll close. He says, you're feeding on Assyria and you're feeding on Egypt. Verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Jeremiah, tell them. They've walked away from God. And because they've walked away from God, they've pursued other gods. You may not have a statue in your bedroom that you bow to, but if you're chasing money over the master, that's your God. And he says, tell them their own backslidings will correct them. Do you realize that when the devil tells you, I got you? He ever told you that? Come on, I got you. Get in the car. Join this thing. Pursue this. No, I got you. And isn't it amazing? The same thing the devil said will get you, got you. See, the car has a door wide open, but the door that was wide open to let you in is the same door that's wide open so you fall out. And God says, there was a day when you rode with me through thick and thin. The sweetest moments you've ever had with God weren't necessarily when everything was going right. The sweetest moments were when everything was going wrong, but the one thing still going right was you and God. Amen. I know it looks like the only way you can have a great time is for everything to go your way. I'm telling you, the sweet moments are the valley moments. Not the crowds, the one-on-one communion. Thank God for church. But if the only appointment you have with God is when you come to church, you're in trouble. I hate to bust your bubble. I need him in between Sundays and Wednesdays. Do you? I'm glad that I don't have to go, oh man, I'm struggling. Hurry up Wednesday. Hurry up Wednesday. Hurry up come. I can't wait till Pastor finally open that Bible because it's locked between Sunday and Wednesday. I can't break it. I'm glad Monday at midnight I can open my Bible and know that the same thing Pastor preached on Sunday is available on Monday. And yet, for some, just a memory. Do you remember? Hey, let me ask you a question.
What's stopping you from getting it back? I tell you, you. I don't want God to be a memory. Amen. I want God to be a reality. The question Jeremiah's asking again this week, one more time next week. Are you just a memory to God? Our Father, how many times have you been there? Oh, again and again and again and again. Help us, Lord, not to forget. Help your language of us and you not to always be past tense. Help it to be present. Heads bowed, no one looking around. People already coming to the altar. Now listen, if God's convicted you, respond. You're not a bad person. Just go get on your knees today and say, God, there's some things we used to have I want back. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved. God bless you. You may put your hands down. I know I'm saved. Now put your hands down. Now be honest. Pastor, there's some stuff that God and I used to have I want back. Would you raise your hand? All over the building. Why don't you come tell them? Now, this is what the altar's for. This is what church is for. He loves you. Come tell him, God, I want it back. God, I want it back. You can have it. God, take me back to those moments of desperation. Those times of fulfillment, God. I'm sorry for leaving. And stay there. Jacob said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. More question, Pastor. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Listen to the question, but I don't want to go to hell. Listen to me, Pastor. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'll not call your name out or embarrass you. All I want to do is pray for you, Pastor. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Just slip it up long enough for me to see it. God bless you. Someone else, just long enough for me to see it. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, but you don't want to go to hell, just put your hand up, would you? God already sees your heart. Let's stand together. Lord, would you bless this invitation? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.